So maybe you have an employee in a position that just makes bad decisions. They're not analytical. Is it something that you can remedy with training and coaching, or is there just an inability there for decision making? I had one employee many years ago that just flat out refused to make decisions. If that was their responsibility, you knew that either an employee below them or laterally beside them in the organization was going to make a decision with less than ideal information. That's not an employee you want in your hierarchy. So employees require time and attention. They require skills, tools, clarity of objectives, clarity of priorities, clarity of the role in the organization, clarity as to what they are allowed and empowered to do. They need the right tools, the right systems, the right processes, the right support above and below to do the right things. So you want a culture that is a learning culture and an empowering culture, a coaching and developing culture, so that everyone in your organization is the best them. Maybe you've got an employee that's incapable of assessing a situation. Like I said, they might be the wrong person for the job. They might not have the education to do that. There's just all kinds of factors that come into that. Don't put them in that position. Don't keep them in that position once you've realized that. Sometimes we change businesses, systems, processes, policies, procedures, the things around and throughout the organization that limits and hamstrings, ties them up, handcuffs, restricts the employees from their best performance. And so when we start seeing inconsistencies or consistent inconsistent decisions, does that make sense? If you get what I mean, it means bad decisions are consistently being made. Let's look at our systems, our processes, and our performance metrics and everything that's in the organization, as well as the people and the situations they're in, to see what the real root cause is of the issue. And sometimes we just have things in place that make the ability to delegate a decision not an option. So it may be a regulatory thing that requires a person of a certain credential to be the one that makes the decision. You may take on a government project and the key person is designated in that government contract as to who's supposed to be doing the work, and only that person can sign off on the work. It may not even be the person that you would normally have put in charge to make that decision. I've had many clients have government contracts and research grants where the supervisor, a higher credentialed person, more experienced, couldn't even work on the project or see any of the project's content due to security clearances and things related to that. So while the supervisor would normally would be the one making the decision, they couldn't even see the information. They can only see the financial result that came from that information. So we have to understand those kind of restrictions and constraints that are there too. So your organization has objectives, has actions that are needed to be taken, delegation, decision-making, all those kind of things. And we monitor the results and the performance to see how things are going, to see how well we're doing. So the organization, the successful organization of today and tomorrow, is a learning organization where everyone in the organization is perpetually, continually engaged in improving skills and decision-making abilities, and they're getting the opportunity to practice those new skills and those decision-making abilities. Yeah, mistakes are going to happen. They can be costly, but they're not as expensive as having an organization that the only person in the organization making the decision is the president of the company, and everybody's waiting around for him to come into his office each day before they know what they can work on. So we want to develop our teams and equip our teams to do the right things, to be proactive, to be positive, perpetual learners, and be engaged in the activities and being proactive in our organization. And we get those results in. This is the R in Strive is review. Review your results. Monitor it. When I was in the big corporations, we looked at financial results on a daily basis for the production shipped out of the plant. We looked at weekly trends. We had to know every day, every week, every month, quarterly, you know, halfway through the year, and annually, how are we performing day to day, week to week, month to month, year over year, over, you know, and being able to look at that, we were able to say what went right, what went wrong, who made a decision, was it something we did or didn't do that caused the change in performance, good or bad? Was there a different alternative we could have pursued? And can we now figure out what that would have meant? Are there internal factors influencing our outcomes? Are there external influences coming into play? I remember a sourcing decision that we made that rather than produce product, a certain component part inside the plant, it was outsourced to Puerto Rico. Well, Puerto Rico had a learning curve. They were just learning to do CNC machines, computer numerically controlled machines. And so we ended up manually hand sorting every component to come in to make sure that it had quality. So while our material costs went down for the product, our labor costs skyrocketed through the ceiling. And so the plant had to evaluate, was that a good decision? Well, no, for the plant, it was a bad decision. For the company in the long term, it was a good decision. But there was a learning curve there, and it was an externally made decision that was handed down and mandated to the plant. So it wasn't optional. It was an external factor we had to deal with and figure out how to cope with and offset the poor performance or the increased labor costs because of the sourcing decision that we had no control over. So external influences come into play in performance. Can we find additional information? Is there something that we can do to deal with that external influence or the internal issues? Do we have the right people and the right tools? Are the parts and the components that we need arriving at the point and at the right time that we need them? Is there something that we can see in our past performance issues that can impact the decision we have to make today? Can we have learned from something by looking at previous decisions that are going to change how we make a decision today? If we're looking at how our business is going and we're not getting the results, can we look externally and say, well, what's happening with our competition? What's happening with other businesses that are not direct competitors that actually serve the same part of the marketplace that we serve? Is it a system-wide issue? Is it a worldwide issue? Is it a industry issue? We need to dig in and understand why our results are what they are. Is it everything about us? Is it something that's external that's impacting us and we're going to have to learn to adapt to that? And in order to thrive, we're going to have to strive to do things differently. So how are we going to look at every result? The positive ones and the negative ones. We need to analyze both. When we get a positive result, decades ago, I'm going to share my age. I was working with a business and the manager was getting these outstanding performance bonuses. They were outperforming their metrics for their manufacturing plant like you would not believe. And no one was digging into why it was so positive. Well, I just tend to be curious about things like that because I wanted to know how in the world could things be so positive. But when you dug into the numbers and you looked to see what wasn't happening, that's why the numbers were positive. Performance was so great. Profitability was so great because those hierarchies of costs, those things that were the enabling costs, the infrastructure costs, the things that got us in the short term to get to the midterm, were not happening because this particular manager understood the process and the systems and the performance things, knowing that if their numbers, their performance was great, they were going to get promoted out of that position. And by the time it was revealed what they hadn't done that had actually done long-term damage to the manufacturing plant's ability to be in business and producing parts at a quality level and a quantity with the capacity, they wouldn't be there when the crap hit the fan. So we need to analyze results, positive and negative, especially when they're outside the scope of normal variation. And we know that results matter. We want to create results-based feedback loops for the organization as a whole, for each line of business, for each customer line, for each employee in the organization. We want everybody held accountable for their decisions, for their results. And the goal is not to catch people just doing things wrong, but also to catch them doing things right. In the automotive industry, one of the landmark, universally recognized wonder cars was the Ford Mustang. And everything that Ford did for that program was a home run, and how they went about it and how the customers supported it and that kind of thing. The goal to replicate that passion for a car and that passion for a platform hasn't been replicated. And yet, that was like the gold standard for everything going right, was to create the Mustang and have the pony car fans. And they were rabid fans. They're fanatics. And so when we look inside of our organization, we want to catch the right processes, the right things, and then we want to replicate and do more of those. And how do we do that? Well, it's the I and Strive. Right in the middle, there is an I and Strive. But it's involving others. It's not each individual, well, it is. It's each individual person's contribution, but in the context of where do you fit in the team and how do you come together to make better decisions, to be better as a team, as a unit, as an organization. No decision should be made in isolation. But usually, in a business, each decision is going to be coming down to a single person making it and executing it. With few exceptions, businesses are not democracies. It's not the most popular vote. It's give me, as the head of the organization or the head of a department or the head of a project, as much information and advice as you can give me. Let me bring that together. Let me evaluate it. Let's talk about things, but ultimately, let me, as the person accountable for the decision, make that decision. So getting lots of information and input, involving others, getting different perspectives, getting different worldviews, getting different functional views of a problem. So the engineering view, the financial view, the customer view, the marketing view, this just different perspectives from the top of the organization, from the person entering the organization with new eyes and looking at something for the first time. Get all those perspectives. Get that information. Take it in. Hear what everybody's saying. And then with your wisdom, your skill set, your ability to analyze, make a decision, and look at everything from a 360-degree, look clear around and make that a three-dimensional problem or question and make a better decision because you have the input. But the critical element in decision-making is asking for that input. Doesn't mean you're going to take it. Doesn't mean people are going to agree with you on the decision you make. And you're not putting it up for a popular vote. You are making a decision for the organization, as informed a decision as you can in the context of objectives and goals, long-term strategies, the resources that need to be allocated, the activities and actions that you have in place today, the systems and processes you need to acquire to take your business to the next level. All of those components coming together. Very few people in your organization are going to have full knowledge of all the information. Just reality. They're not entitled to the information. They don't have visibility to the information. But you and your role should have full 360 degrees, three-dimensional view of the information you need, as much of it as you can gather to make a decision. You will never have 100% of the information. Or if you do have 100% of the information, then you've got 20/20 vision and you're looking at things with hindsight and you already know everything. I had a boss one time that we had basically four data points in the whole decision. And we analyzed it and we gave him some advice. And he says, you can't know that. Well, we'd spent a number of weeks and months, four or five of us, doing the analysis, and we were confident of our information. He goes, well, I need more information. He didn't want to make a decision. So we waited for the first actual data point to come in, and we were dead on. He still didn't want to do anything. And so things just kept happening. And the second data point comes in, and we're almost at a point in the organization where his unwillingness to escalate the information or make a decision himself would have, could have even killed the entire business based on the magnitude of the issue we were dealing with. And I'm a kind of tilting at windmills, not afraid to go outside of the organization boundaries and structures to call it an audible and say, hey, wait a minute, we got something going on here that you need to be aware of, and this is why you need to be aware of it. And so after the second of the four data points came in, I took a step to make sure the organization would survive this issue. But then I let the just happening reactive type person, unable or unwilling to make a decision, reap that course of not acting, not doing his role, not fulfilling his responsibility, not escalating a situation to have more people look at it and acknowledge it. And people have to realize financial results are going to be the financial results. You can't hide them. When you close the books at the end of the year, the numbers are the numbers. And so the third data point came in, and we're 3 months from the end of the year. We have one data point left and no wiggle room to change. And we all thought he was going to escalate it at that point, and he didn't escalate it at that point. And so our entire financial year closed out. We got the fourth data point, and he's like, yeah, you're right. We need to let somebody know. But at that point, when you're right and you need to let somebody know, you can't take an action to counter the thing that you were right about. And in this case, we were saying financial results were going to be drastically off, and we were going to need a whole lot more cash than the organization was equipped to produce or borrow if we'd been sending at that point. And reality was we would have been in January looking for hundreds of millions of dollars of cash to borrow. I remember walking into my office towards the end of the month of January that year, and my boss's boss's boss was sitting in my office. And he said, why didn't I get fired yesterday? And he had immediately known that something had occurred that he should have known about all year long. But he also knew someone in the organization cared about the organization, knew the objective, knew the priority, and was willing to step outside of the normal course of things to make sure something positive, proactive took place to protect the organization. And I explained the situation to him. And had all the documentation of over 15 months of where we had been telling this particular manager, my boss, what was going to happen and what the consequences were. So financial results are early warning signs. You will never have 100% perfect information until after an event has happened, until after everything's taken place, and the only thing you can do is react. And sometimes you can't react sufficiently to counter what you just let happen.